Emperor Tales of the Frozen South by C.W.B. and read by Ghost of Nuggets Past. Chapter 5. Ui me uru pare. Questions and Answers. Summary. When we last left off, our paying heroes were making Mycroft's life difficult, and the council was about to start accepting questions on the life stages of their kind. Turns out, Sherlock has a question, and he doesn't like the answer. John and Sherlock stay huddled in their spot, standing on their toes to see who is asking which question. Most come from the more mature juveniles, who will be ready to select partners soon. The chicks listen attentively, more because they know this material is hardly meant for their young ears than because they're interested. Some of the adults are ushering their children home now, which frees space for those more interested to move forward. Vella points toward the back of the crowd, and a hesitant voice asks what a penguin should do if no one answers their mating call. Vella nods sympathetically, as this is an insecurity shared by young penguins everywhere.
"Well, first, I want you to know that this rarely ever happens, especially for first-time courtships. It does sometimes happen that we have more females than males, or vice versa, but most of the time, an eligible population is evenly matched. Some penguins may choose not to mate, which could also alter the potential pool of mates, but again, this is rare. If a call goes unanswered, we encourage you to consider that it simply was not your time yet, or not your mate's time, and to wait patiently for the next season. I personally have never known of a situation where a desirous penguin was not bonded within 2 seasons.
She looks over at Pavo now, who nods in agreement, then adds,
"And please keep in mind that you are never required to participate in the calling. Some of you may not feel the urgency to pair when others do, and that's completely fine. Some of you may feel the calling sooner than your peers. Some males, for example, do not mate until their 8th winter.
Vella points to a young female in the middle of the pack, and her high, light voice drifts to the front.
"What if we don't like the one who responds to our call?"
Vella smiles. "That's not possible, my dear. By design of nature, your call will most likely not even be heard by an individual who is not well suited for you. Pairing only happens when 2 songs are perfectly harmonious. Yours will resonate with theirs, and theirs will resonate with yours, or it won't happen at all." John leans into Sherlock and whispers, "Maybe that's why Mycroft hasn't mated. Maybe no one likes his song."
"No, he's never even participated in the calling," Sherlock responds. "Although, can you imagine the type of tone-deaf squawking we'd be subjected to if he did find his one and only?"
He shudders, and John chuckles and leans in closer. Sherlock begins to catalog ways that he can make John laugh again. A voice from near the front asks,
"Why do we parade around the colony once we've found our mate?"
Vella looks over to Pavo, who steps forward and answers,
"The courtship parade is a rite of passage, and one that we encourage you to uphold, as it is unique to us emperors. It is a signal to the entire colony that you are spoken for and no longer available, as well as an indication that you will be mating soon and should be given every respect from the rest of us."
"It may seem odd now, but your parade will most likely be one of the most cherished memories from your first courtship."
Now another voice pipes up without waiting to be called on.
"Why do you keep talking about our first mate and our first courtship? Aren't we encouraged to mate for life?"
Pavo was quiet for a moment before answering. Sherlock takes note because her body language indicates a very delicate response will be forthcoming.
"Ah, yes. Well, my dear child, we certainly do hope that you each find your match and that you enjoy each other for the rest of your time here on Earth. It could happen, however, that one of you will survive the other by many years. We live in a very harsh environment, as you will have realized by now. We endure the coldest temperatures known to penguin kind.
We swim in the most hostile waters, and we risk all manner of threat and hardship to feed our young. Unfortunately, every year, some of us do not return home from the winter feeds. Some of us will not make the migration after the summer hunts, either. Sadly, most penguins do not know that they have lost their mate until the next mating season, when they call and there is no answer. At that point, you will hear another call in response to yours, and will then take a new mate. John's bill drops open.
"That's horrible," he murmurs to Sherlock. "Why would we want a new mate after losing the one we thought we'd have forever? We're just supposed to call out, hear nothing back, and pick someone else?"
Sherlock doesn't know what to say to this. He has already decided that he must be with John forever, no matter what, but he hasn't thought ahead to the calling, and he doesn't know if it's possible to choose a mate without the calling, or if it's possible for two male emperors to be together. He thinks back to what Apo said to Korora when she picked Pano as her mate, that bit about the male gift. What is this gift, and how is it necessary for producing an egg? Can the gift of two males create an egg? Does a couple even need an egg to be bonded? Questions flood through his mind now, but it isn't until he feels John nudging his wing that all these thoughts settle into just one.
"You all right? You went a bit vacant for a second there." "I'm fine, John. Thank you."
Then he raises his wing and extends his neck as high as he can, hoping that Pavo will notice him. She does, and he is briefly aware that his mother, brother, and best friend are going to hear his question.
"I am given to understand that the purpose of the calling is to find a partner. The purpose of finding a partner is to mate, and the purpose of mating is to produce an egg. How exactly does a couple mate?"
There is much eye-blinking from the council, except for Mycroft, who is rolling his eyes so hard Sherlock hopes he'll strain his face. After some shuffling and throat-clearing, Vella opens and closes her bill a few times, then says,
"Is that you, young Sherlock? Perhaps this is the type of question you'd rather ask your mother later?"
Sherlock is about to say no thank you, that he's completely fine with Vella answering right now, when he hears his mother's voice.
"Council Peng Vela, I am sure that my Sherlock is not the only one here tonight who is wondering the exact same thing. The nature of the question is not something to be embarrassed about, and our chicks and juveniles deserve an open, honest answer."
Vela considers, then says, "You are quite right, Olive. Thank you for your perspective. Before I explain, I would like to say that while this information is perhaps interesting, it is not entirely necessary. When the time comes, your body will know exactly what to do, just as it has for all the ages of emperors. That said, mating happens when the male mounts the female from behind and releases a special fluid, what we refer to as the male gift, from down below into her body. When the gift enters the female, the egg starts to grow. Shortly after, the female will lay the egg and pass it to her mate, who will hold it on his feet for the duration of the incubation." A small voice pipes up from the front.
"Does it hurt?"
"Laying the egg is slightly uncomfortable, but not especially painful."
"No,"
the little voice says.
You said mounting?"
"Ah, I see." Vella clears her throat while the weight of the colony's stare settles over her. "Well, let's see. No, I wouldn't say that it hurts. It is very difficult for one penguin to balance on the back of another, no matter what the circumstances. The female must be very, very still, and sometimes the male will bite her neck, gently, mind you, to help keep his balance. It really only lasts a few seconds before he hops off. Of course," she continues, losing herself a bit now in her reflections, "the process must be repeated several times to ensure that the male gift has actually, well, made it inside the female,
But if both birds are cooperating and take their time, it really shouldn't hurt in the slightest. There is complete silence.
Vela takes a deep breath, shakes out her feathers, and says, "Any more questions?"
"No, very well. Please feel free to continue this discussion amongst yourselves and have a safe, peaceful evening."
Sherlock and John stand next to each other, not moving, not talking, not looking. When John does speak, it's to say,
"All right then, good stuff. See you tomorrow?"
Sherlock nods and feels John move away from him. He can think of nothing to say, except the one thing he cannot say. He will never be able to make an egg with John. Notes. A few notes on penguin mating. 1. All penguin species have different mating rituals. Some collect to present rocks as gifts. A very pretty rock will be coveted by others and possibly even stolen. Some build fancy nests, some call, and some strut. 2. Emperors do not nest, and they do not exchange rocks, but they do call, and once paired, they do parade. 3. No other penguin species even attempts to pull off mating, incubation, and hatching during the most extreme of winter months like these penguins do. These guys are BAMF to the 9th degree. 4. Emperors, to be completely factual, are serial monogamists. When they have a mate, they are faithful to that mate. That said, there's often little time between reaching the breeding grounds and the time for mating. If a penguin calls and his or her mate is out of earshot, a new pair can form. Likewise, if a mate dies. Like I said, they're BAMF and don't sit around and grieve. Except, you know, John and Sherlock. They totally would. I've taken some artistic license with that bit of the story. 5. The part about Emperor Peng's reaching sexual maturity after 3 years, but not taking mate for another 1 to 3 years, sometimes longer, is true. I have no idea what they're waiting for.